Okay, who's ready to get into the word?
Yes.
John chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 11. And we're going to just stand as we read the word of God together, and then you can take your seat. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand for the whole thing. I'm not going to do what I did in Canterbury. Guys, I didn't know it was dark. John chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 11. When you are there, scream at me, I'm there. Brilliant. That sounds like all of us. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Brilliant. You guys are on it. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Then this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, it's time for you to manifest. Feel free to take your seats as we get into today's word. So over the last 2 months, within the church specifically, God has been helping us understand what it takes to live life carrying the things he's placed in our hands. And I think alongside you all, I have definitely felt this immense pressure to carry what God has given me more carefully and intentionally. Because when God is discussing the theme of responsibility, the only thing, the only appropriate thing that you need to do is examine yourself. And over the last 2 months, I have been examining myself and I've realized a few things. We have to be honest that no one wants to be the person who was entrusted something but failed in the process. If I was to say, who wants to fail? I'm sure no one would put up their hand, right? Failure has become a thing that we've used to speak about how we can bounce back. Yes, it's powerful. But if I was to survey the room and ask who actually wants to fail, I'm sure and I hope that we would all keep our hands down. And I realized that the feeling of failure is a terrifying feeling. It's a scary feeling. And it's most terrifying, especially when someone trusts you to get it right. See, for me, I can handle failure when it comes with no expectation. If I didn't know, then I didn't know. But failure becomes more antagonizing when there is expectation tied to it. Because now I don't just deal with the failure itself, but I deal with shame, embarrassment, and disappointment. In Genesis 3, you are invited into Adam and Eve as God himself had made them in his image prior and had given them responsibility to extend God's kingdom. They were then tricked by the serpent and experienced failure. And their response in chapter 3 from verse 7 to verse 8 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Somebody say hid themselves. From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The first question I want to ask you this afternoon is, has the fear of failure stopped you from accepting responsibility? Has the fear of failure stopped you from accepting responsibility? Have you ever said something like this? If I just don't accept it, maybe they won't blame me when it goes wrong. If I just don't take on the work, maybe they won't look at me when things don't go the way they planned. And for many seasons, when I heard what God was calling me to do, I felt as though if I just stand still and don't move towards the promise, at least I'm not doing any damage. But the problem is, you think you've escaped failure when all you've done is guarantee it. All you have done is guarantee it. Over the last few months, God has been speaking to me about the season that we've been in as a wider church. And I'm going to take you through this. In 2017, we saw the rise of a worship culture within the church. We saw that people were birthing worship movements, and there was a real need for people to express the art of worship within their services and gatherings. You began to see that this is where a lot of worship leaders were on the come up, and God began to give people visibility because he was championing the culture of worship within that time. And then you skip into 2020, and there was a championing of the Word of God. This is where teachers began to rise. This is where we started having debates and discussions about the core doctrines of our faith. This is where many began to question what they really believed, that who God was and what he did as he was on the earth. This is where we had a lot of doctrinal conversation and clashes, because God was trying to raise up people who understood the word. And then you skip forward to 2022 or 2023, and now you see the rise of prayer and intercession. This is where a lot of our sounds have switched, and a lot of the calmest congregations have now become rowdy, because God is trying to raise up intercessors and people who don't just understand the lifestyle in God of worship, who don't just understand the truth of God, but now understand that because of truth, I am able to engage with God. And this is where we're at the moment as a church. I used to be one of those people very early on, within like late 2022 and early 2023, where I'll say, oh, why is everyone praying loud? Why is everyone doing this? Why is everyone now doing kadus, kada? And am I lying? but just wait on me, wait on me. Turn to your neighbor and say, wait on me, wait on me, wait on me, wait on me. But I began to realize that God, my inability to conform to the intensity of prayer was keeping me behind. My individualism in a season where God was trying to champion intensity, kept me behind. And so God said, that's because I'm doing something with my church. So I began to explore. It's like, okay, God, prayer, intercession. Let me not just dip my toe into this, but let me fling myself into this river. And as we are in this season where God is championing intercession and prayer, there is a season that we have already switched to. That if you do not recognize it with your eyes, then you will be behind. The season we are now in is a season called manifestation. The reason why we're going from prayer to manifestation is because you'll begin to realize that many people will pray and pray and pray but get no results. And what was satisfying a few years ago, what was the hallmark of maturity within any gathering, is now common. And you can no longer tell who is with God and who is against God. Because everyone looks like they're praying. And everyone's got the same mannerisms. And everyone looks like they're focused. But the season we are now in is the exposing season, where we will really tell whether all this time you have been communing with God or whether you have been doing it for people. Manifestation. Many will soon begin to realize that although the praying rooms look powerful, they lack the ability to bring about God results in the hour of greatest need. In the hour of greatest need. And so the reason this season is called manifestation is because there is great darkness coming. And one of the tools of the church in this hour is the ability to manifest light and power in the face of darkness. Do you see now why responsibility can't just be avoided? Because it's either that you rise to the occasion or it takes you out. And so you can stay on the fringes and not really step fully into the depths of God. But this season will require you to release some stuff. And those who are unable to will be placed to the side. There is darkness coming. In John chapter 2, we looked at the wedding at Cana. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is invited to a wedding and his mother Mary is there also. And then in verse 3, we're presented with an issue. Verse 3 in John chapter 2 says, "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him," being Jesus, "said to him, they have no wine." Say, "They have no wine." As I began to study this, I was reading that weddings of that time typically extended over 5 to 7 days. I know, right? Some people are like, one day of shaking leg and I'm tired. And the culmination of these 5 to 7 days was a great wedding feast. And because of this, because of the vastness of this great wedding feast, of this grandiose occasion, failing to provide adequate hospitality was a great dishonor and could bring shame to the couple. So a lack of wine within John chapter 2 isn't isn't like it is today. You know when you go to some house and you say, you got drink? Like, no. You're like, okay, cool. No, it's not like that. It's not Fanta's missing from the fridge. When you read into the context of this chapter, of this story, of this history, you realize that a lack of wine at such an important moment was not just an inconvenience, it was a social mistake. You could be frowned upon if wine was missing. You could be discussed and gossiped if wine had run out. And so they have two options. Number one, you could avoid it, which many of us do. We see the issue. We see the problem. We see what's ahead of us. We see what's broken. And we... The issue with avoiding it is that it doesn't stop it from happening. And so if they had avoided this issue, it would have brought shame to the couple. And so the only other option is to become responsible for the necessary solution. The only option I have is responsibility. The only option I have is to see the issue before me and to become responsible for its solution. Otherwise, I face the issue of the problem and the issue ahead of me, growing and growing and taking more space and taking more land and gaining more power and authority. And so Jesus in verse 4 responds to Mary and says, "Woman," I was going to tell everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, "Woman," don't do that. "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." I remember I always used to come to my mom and say, "Mom," you guys are already laughing. "Mom, I'm tired. I don't want to have to do what you've just asked me to do." And she looks and she says, "What does that have to do with me?" Now, thankfully for the world, Jesus wasn't Nigerian. But when we read verse 4, if we read it with the language of today, then we probably think that Jesus was being rude. Why would he call his mother woman? But if you study into the timeline, study with the timeline in mind, you will know that woman was a neutral term. Although it sounded discourteous, woman was not a rude term, neither was it an expected way for a son to address his mother. So, woman was actually a title of respect. We have no real way of knowing that full translation in English, but it was similar to the word lady. So Jesus addressed Mary and he says, "Lady, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." As I read this, this revelation blew my mind. When Jesus addressed Mary, Jesus indicated that there was a new relationship between him and Mary. Jesus essentially said this: if you seek my help, you must not seek it on the basis of our mother and son relationship. If you want my help, you must not do it on the basis of us being son and mother. So he invites a neutral term to invite Mary into something greater. This is the moment where Mary forsakes her relationship with her son to tap into the relationship with her God. This is the moment where what follows after only makes sense because of Jesus' response. Jesus said, in this moment, we aren't mother and son because you've come to me with need. There's an issue before you. And so if you are going to get my help, you must approach me and know who I am. And so we all know that the story ends up with Jesus performing the miracle. Why on earth then would he say that my hour has not yet come, and what does this have to do with me? It seems in that moment that Jesus said to Mary, I won't do it, it's not my time. But then he switched and ended up doing it. What he really said to Mary was, now we have a different relationship. Let me consult my Heavenly Father and let me know whether this is His will. And so in verse 5, Mary says in response, whatever He says to you, do it. Could it have been that Jesus' response was not a denying of Mary's request, but was an invitation for Mary to see him the way he's always been? This is why Mary knew. This is why Mary didn't say, okay, forget it. Let me just try and do something else. Mary wasn't being defiant to God himself. Because if God says no, who are you to turn and say, okay, whatever, if God's about to do it, you do this and this and this. No, Mary's response was aware of what Jesus had invited her into. And so she turns to the servants and says, whatever he says to you, do it. In this season of manifestation that we are in, the only way manifestation will be possible is friendship with God. And in this hour of great need, the proof of your level of friendship in God is in your ability to pray and have Him hear you and respond in the hour of great need. Rev, I didn't share this with you, but there was something that God did with me as we were praying towards Canterbury. And you can imagine a 6 a.m. waking up in the morning to come downstairs and pray with the men ahead of the meeting. And as we're praying, I'm going for it. If every tongue came out of me, it was that day. I'm pushing for it. And I begin to look around the room, and forgive me for this, but I begin to look around the room and I'm seeing that the other men are like, you know when you're tired and you're praying, you, all right, come on, come on. And I was thinking, okay, God, I must be the strong one right now. So let me carry this. And I was praying. And then Rev said, in Jesus' name, amen. And what followed after was Rev spelling out our calls and our purpose one by one. And I began to realize, did I think that maturity was in the fervency alone? Because even though I considered myself as spiritually high and mature, I could not see. And I was unable to really know and catch a revelation about what God wants to do. The evidence of your maturity is not in how long you can pray. The evidence of your maturity is whether you can pray and God responds. Because we can both be in a room, both pray the same prayer, but get different results. What's the difference? Your level of friendship. It's the level of friendship that will dictate whether God responds. And in the hour of great need, if there's anything that we are going to do, it's to rise in our friendship with God. Shall I tell you why? Because there are situations that are here and that are coming that will not move hearing the voice of servants of God. They will only move to the voice of friends. And one of my biggest frustrations within my early Christian life was, God, I'm doing all the stuff, but nothing is happening. And this season of prayer that we've passed will get tiring because you'll begin to realize that you're sweating, you're jumping, you're clapping, but nothing's happening at the end of it. It's your friendship with God. The reason why we need this more than ever is because there are situations in your life that you need greater level of friendship with God to overcome. Seasons of infirmity. Seasons of insecurity. Seasons of lack. Seasons of issues within family that if you don't rise, you will never be able to overcome that. There was a time in life where I thought I was the guy because I knew how to communicate with God. But when I would turn to family situations and one prayer wasn't doing it and a week of fasting wasn't pushing it, I began to realize that there are things in this darkness that are far beyond me. That at my current level, I don't have the ability to move. I marvel at people who have said, because of my prayer, my entire family situation turned. I marvel at people who say that because of this declaration, the issue that was before me has now turned. That's maturity. They might not look like it. They might not sound like it. We have done away with many elders in God's church because they haven't looked or jumped like us. But when you visit the change that they made in their family, you begin to realize they are mature. And there are things right now that my prayer cannot push, that their prayer is cutting through. But because they didn't have our tongues and because they didn't know our songs and because of all of this stuff, we cast them aside and we put loud but shallow people in the forefront. Knowing all language, but when you pray, nothing happens. Knowing how to have the cadence, but when you're up against evil, nothing shifts. Can I tell you what the most scariest thing for any Christian gathering in today is? If a person with a wheelchair comes in. Can I tell you that will shake many rooms? Because although you're praying and although you're tarrying, you don't have the ability to perform a sign and a wonder in the hour of great need. And as I recognized this within my own life, it broke me. Because I recognized that maturity as we knew it is not what we think. When you pray, does He hear you? Does He respond? Because at the wedding of Cana, Mary was able to speak with Jesus and receive a response from Him. All because of friendship. And then I came across this scripture. Psalm 25, verses 12 to 14. Psalm 25 from verse 12 to verse 14 says, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. He Himself shall dwell in prosperity, and His descendants shall inherit the earth." Hear verse 14. "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. If that alone doesn't do something to you, I don't know what will. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The word secret is broken into the word council or assembly. Council is a place where you receive advice, you receive understanding, you receive other opinions that differ to your own. So this council is with those who fear Him. As I begin to read, "And He will show them," that word "He will show them" in the Hebrew, guess what that word was? Yada. In other words, He makes you experientially know Him and His ways. And then the word covenant is broken into an alliance of friendship. An alliance is a union between people, groups, a relationship in which people agree to work together. So this is what God said in Psalm 25, verse 14. "My advice is with those who respect Me, and they will experience the intimacy of our friendship." And so if you are going to mount up in this season, because I am telling you right now, darkness is only able to prevail as much as the church allows it. And if you are going to withstand the trials, the tests, the things coming, you have to get deeper in your friendship with God. It means that now prayer isn't an option. It means that now studying the word isn't a way to develop my life in God. It's the way to keep it. Because otherwise, with what's coming, when need presents itself before me, I do not want to be found immature. Yesterday, I was in Canterbury as we were having the True Worshippers course. And God did some powerful things. And at the end of it, a girl came up to me. And she said, I had the most terrifying encounter this morning. My friend to the room in the room next to mine, she came out into the kitchen and we were speaking, but she was speaking in third person. So imagine this person is called Lucy. And Lucy comes before you and says, Lucy's very tired right now. Lucy needs to sleep. And the girl said as she came back to her room, she could just smell the smell of blood. And she was terrified. Now here she is, after the course, coming to me, and she says, what do I do? I don't want to go back to my room because I'm terrified. And I can't feel what I felt in my room here. What do I do? You know, in a moment like that, I can't advise you. Like, all manner of like good advice and all of that stuff, that ceases in that moment. Because she's going to leave this room and go back to her room and face the same thing. What's necessary in that moment is a level of friendship with God to step in between and to break whatever that is. But if you do not grow and you do not mature, you will have spiritual problems that come to you that you give natural solutions to. If you do not rise, you will have an inability to know why something keeps on happening. All you'll stay at is, I believe God will do it, man. And imagine if Jesus did that as the people came to him within the Gospels. Jesus, my son is dead. Believe the Father will do it, man. Jesus, I've been bleeding for 12 years. Yeah. I'm praying for you. Spiritual problems will create a mockery out of your relationship with God if you do not level up. Because as they come to you, you will be unable to deal with them. How long will you experience a lack of peace and not muster up the faith to stand against it? For how long will you see health issues to and fro and not muster up the level of friendship to stand against it? Because I'm telling you right now, the longer you avoid it, the more it grows. The longer you avoid it, the more it gathers up for itself. And what started as a seed is now a whole tree. I'm speaking like this not because I've got it all together, but I'm speaking like this because I need you to understand that this is why we go as hard as we do. This is why we push. This is why I can never open my mouth to complain about another time of prayer or another time of us to gather and understand the word. Because for what's trying to face me, I need it. And I'm sure if we took one by one and went around this room, we will begin to realize that there is great darkness at work already. My question to you is, Christian, son, when will you stand against it? When will you rise and say, I refuse that this thing would go on any longer? And so my consistency in the secret place, my time with God, is going to mean that when the hour of great need comes, when God is like, okay, now it's the time to be responsible. Now it's the time to steward. Now it's the time to display authority. Now is the time to overcome. I want to be ready. And all of those moments that have been building up, the moments of prayer, the moments where you set your affections towards God, the moments where it didn't feel like or it didn't seem like you were somewhere, but really you were hidden, building friendship with God, building openness with God, knowing what it is to live in daily repentance, bowing down before God. I'm telling you that when the hour of great need comes, they will not look for many pastors. They will look for the people who are building friendship. Because those will be the people that will be able to stand against it. I say this every time. I am done with pretense Christianity. I'm done with this level. I'm done with shallow. God, my life, I have to sow seeds where people do not see. Sow seeds in place of prayer. Sow seeds. So when the hour of great need comes, when darkness pops its head, we're able to silence it. Because of friendship, because of intimacy, because of knowing the Lord, because our mind is set where? In heavenly places and not on the earth. Because now I have mulled over Ephesians 1, that I have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And so I don't look out there, I don't look externally, but I've made my focus Christ. I've made him my attention. I've made him my sole prize. And now my heart is full and is ready. So when the moment comes where they're looking for someone to take us somewhere, when the moment comes where they're searching for someone who's going to perform miracle, when the moment comes and someone says, I can't pray because I've been having sleepless nights and I've been struggling with depression, I've been struggling with anxiety, I can lift my voice and pray. Why? Because of friendship. When the hour of great need comes, I need to be found ready. If I continue to avoid it, if you continue to avoid it, then need will come, but it will not find you ready and it will eat you up. This is why many people have left the faith, because the hour of great need came, they weren't ready, and then they blamed God. The hour of great need came. A situation came, time for manifestation. Hello, time for you to reveal all that you've been building. And now we know you've been building your popularity. You haven't been building yourself in the secret place. This season of manifestation is an exposing season because it exposes those who are ready and those who have been kidding around this entire time. I have to be ready. I have to be ready. I have to forsake everything and enter in to the closet and pray and pray and pray. It might not feel like anything's happening, but pray, but pray, but pray, but pray, but pray. And it might not feel like nothing's happening, but read the word, study, study, show up, give, show up, serve, show up, give, show up. And when the hour comes, you will see that friendship will speak for me. Do I have any people in this room who are tired of the level they're at? I need an increase from God. I am believing that in the next few moments, God is going to give people things. Things. I'm believing in the next few moments that God is going to hand you things. Because God, I don't have enough tools. I don't have enough tools to fight this battle. So God, you're going to have to help us. You're going to have to help us. You're going to have to help us. And I believe in the next few moments, God is going to give people things. Things that they are able to fight the battle with. Revelation. Gifting, graces, understandings. This is what God is trying to do. God, I must be found available. For the next few moments, lift up your voices.